Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I like the old story about a vessel that was on the sea. And this vessel saw this light in the distance. And the captain of that ship told his signal man to signal to that other light, turn 10 degrees to the south. They pretty much got an instant message back telling them, turn 10 degrees to the north. Well, the captain was kind of angry because he was kind of used to getting his way. And so he said, turn 10 degrees to the south. I am a captain. And he got the message back, turn 10 degrees to the north. I am a seaman, third class Jones. And finally, the captain had enough, and he sent back, say this, I am a battleship, turn 10 degrees to the north. And then they got the reply, turn 10 degrees to the south, I am a lighthouse. Have you ever gone through life thinking you're a battleship? You know, just wanting everybody to get out of your way. Just think to say, you know, here I am, I've got a plan, I've got a vision, I've got a mission. Whether you're a battleship or a bulldozer, some people are just strong people, and they have a plan and a vision, and look out, world. Maybe you're not quite that aggressive. I know I'm a lot more passive-aggressive, all right? I may not say exactly what I want, but I'll kind of try to manipulate and get it my way. And one way or the other, would you agree with me, most of us like getting our own way? Yes? No? Yes, all right. I think most of us, we like getting our own way. If you're one of those persons, today's sermon is for me and you, all right? We're talking about, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is talking to the Christian church of that time, and the whole start of this is to be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. And I think this is what we want to be to this world, to imitate God so that when the world looks at us, his church, the people and the followers of Jesus, they see God. And so he goes on to write and say, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. We've been talking about what this life of love looks like as we forgive one another, as we accept one another, we confess and pray for one another, we encourage one another. And today he goes on to say, live this kind of love, just as Christ gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so set before us today of what love looks like, it's Jesus who offered up himself through his suffering and death on the cross. And so we're told, let's read this verse together, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit, that's one of the words that this isn't really popular in today's world. But this, notice here, submit is one of these words that we find throughout the New Testament, speaking of our relationships with one another. We find that the biblical submission is obedience. Obedience to God-given authority. And I think that's really a key here. It's not just submitting to everybody, but to those whom God has placed in authority in our lives. And so in the Bible, we hear in a couple of spots, wives are exhorted, encouraged to submit to their husbands. Children are admonished, right? Isaiah, Isaac, Emma, Madeline, right? Okay. To do what to their parents? Submit. All right, all right. Christians are instructed to submit to their government authorities. Christians are commanded to submit to who? Me. All right, thank you. All right, to the leaders of the church, okay? Servants are instructed to submit to their masters, okay? Do you like this? All right, I don't, you know, maybe you're looking at this and say, well, how does this all play out? If we're all submitting to all these people, what does this look like? You see, Christians who are in these authoritative positions are to be an authority with a submissive attitude. So husbands are directed to love their wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You think that was easy? It was hard. But Jesus submitted himself for his wife, his bride, the church. Fathers are to deal how with their children? Sensitively, all right? Not to you know, exasperate your kids. Not to drive them crazy on purpose. Rat. All right. Elders are commissioned to be servant leaders. That as we lead, one of the ways that we lead as pastors, as elders, as church workers, is as servants. And Christian masters are to treat their servants fairly and sensitively. And so in our relationships to one another, we submit out of the same love that God has given us. And even when the disciples were arguing amongst themselves, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest amongst us? Jesus brought this little child and said, if you welcome a child like this, you're welcoming me and the one who sent me. For he who is least among you, he is the greatest. And so in Jesus' day, children were more like property. They really weren't valued until they were older. There was a lot of death in childhood. And so there was kind of, you didn't cling closely to children like we do today. But it was, all right, your kids, you're around. But until you could be productive, there wasn't a whole lot of value for kids. And so here Jesus is bringing a child in the midst and to say, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, become like a child. Having this childlike faith, this relationship with God. And even if you look at Jesus Christ, you look at his life. Paul describes Jesus Christ in this way, that your attitude, our attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself what? Nothing. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He became a human. And found being found in the appearance of his man, he humbled himself, and he became what? Obedient. Obedient to death, even death on a cross. Our model of submission, of obedience, is Jesus. And I want to ask you this. Why did Jesus die on the cross? For you. Who was he putting first? Us. For God so loved the world. Jesus died on the cross for you, so that nothing could separate us from God. Even when we get puffed up with ourselves, even when we demand our own way, even when we treat others not as nicely as we should, Jesus died for those sins that separate us from each other and us from God. On the cross, Jesus submitted himself out of love for us. And so why do we submit to one another? Out of love, isn't it? So that when we submit and the world sees, they think of God. Now, when Jesus humbled himself, what happened on the third day? God raised him up. I think this is the one thing that I hear people talk, when they talk about submission, they say, well, if I don't ask for what I want, I'm not going to get it. As Christians, who do we trust to provide us just what we need, just when we need it? God. Our faith is not in this world. Our faith is not on what we can get, but on what God can give us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so I truly believe that submission is the essence of Christianity. Jesus said this. Let's read this together from Mark chapter 8. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That kind of sounds like submission, doesn't it? God, it's not about what I want, but it's about what you want. And even if I suffer, even if I pick up this cross, Lord, this is what it means to follow Jesus. Martin Luther put it this way: a Christian is the most free Lord of all and subject to none, but a Christian is the most dutiful servant to all and subject to everyone. It's a paradox, isn't it? We are set free in Jesus Christ, free from sins, free from earthly authority, because who do we serve? God. And so when we submit to our authorities, who are we really submitting to? God. It's out of a love for our Lord that we submit to him, knowing that we have been set free through Jesus Christ, his perfect life, his suffering and death, and his glorious resurrection. We are set free. And so submission leads to freedom. Real freedom is the ability to lay down the burden of always needing to get our own way. Have you ever met anybody who threw a temper tantrum because they didn't get what they want? Okay. Kids are known for this, but do adults ever do this? Right? And how does that affect the people around them? It makes everybody uptight and stressed out and anxious. And what if instead of demanding our own way, we lay down our life, we pick up our cross, we deny ourselves, and we serve as Jesus has served us, as we love as each other loved us, trusting who to provide us what we need? The Lord. Do people in the church ever demand their own way? Yeah. What would happen if Talmadge Lutheran Church was filled with people who said, it's not about me, it's not about getting what I want, but it's about serving. It's about loving. It's out of submitting to one another, out of reverence for Christ. And so this is my prayer for you, that you may go out today saying, all right, maybe who do I need to confess to that I haven't been submissive, I haven't been loving, I haven't respected the people that God has placed in authority over me. But maybe God is calling you that instead of demanding your own way, that you may submit as an act of love to the Lord, to others, for yourself, as a sign of your trust and faith in God. It's my prayer that together we may love one another, that the world may know that we are his disciples as we do what? Forgive one another. Do what? Accept one another, and next, confess and pray for one another, encourage one another, and submit to one another. That as we live out this love we have received in Jesus Christ, people see in us the face of Christ. We are the faces of Jesus Christ to this world. May we do this that the world may know that Jesus loves the world so much that he gave his life for them, for us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for humbling yourself, even to the point of death and death on the cross. Jesus, you lowered yourself, you emptied yourself, because you knew that your Father would restore you, that there was victory even in submission, that God would raise you up from the depths of your humility. We pray, O Lord, that in our own lives, that we may not think more highly of ourselves and what we ought, but that we may put others first, submitting out of reverence for our Lord Jesus Christ. Allow Talmadge Lutheran Church to be a place where we love each other and not demand our own way, but seek together to serve and follow Jesus Christ, that what is most important, proclaiming Jesus, loving one another, that this world may know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We pray this in your name, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. At this time, would you please rise as we sing our offertory together?
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, we give of our tithes and offerings to this Lord, that his work may continue in our midst. We also ask that you fill out the Burgundy friendship pad that's on the end of the pew and pass that down today. Thank you.